Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Market View on Money FM 89.3.
While gains on the Straits Times Index this Tuesday don't seem to be as robust, we are seeing the local benchmark and stocks trading in the green for the most part, and perhaps a much-needed shot on the arm after the ministry task force outlined a potential roadmap to reopening the Singaporean economy. This will all depend, of course, as contingent on whether or not Singapore can meet their vaccination goals, but it has lent a bit of optimism for many business sectors and also possibly markets overall. Well, to ascertain if that really is the case, we are joined once again by Mr. Terence Wong, the CEO of Azure Capital, to help us recap the month that was and also make sense of the recent developments that could be a new source of hope. But Terence, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are safe and in good health during these times. And welcome back to the show, sir. Happy Tuesday. I hope you're doing well.
Happy Tuesday, JP. Happy Tuesday.
And I can tell from your tone, sir, that it has been a pretty decent day. And again, a lot of optimism now. I think after a week of seeming despair or deflation because of the return to phase two heightened alert, the roadmap at least has provided or much needed clarity for many business sectors that are suffering from the recent social restrictions. But do you think this is also translating into the market today and is providing stocks and equities today a bit of a shot on the arm?
Well, yeah, I think, JP, we took a step backwards just not too long ago when we initiated on Phase 2 Heightened Alert Part 2. And that was supposed to run all the way to August 18th. But then Finance Minister Lawrence Wong came up to talk about the possibility of it, of us opening up, especially to those vaccinated folks, right? And I think that this is a good move to really like push the citizens or at least Singaporeans, you know, and people in Singapore to actually like go get their vaccinations done. Mm-hmm. And I think that this really opens up the aviation sector. This is a positive move I see, and that is why I believe that SIA saw a jolt this morning. It's up, what, 2%?
It's up 2% as we speak. It's now about, I believe it's 1:52 in the afternoon. Yes, it's 2% right now up.
Okay, so SIA is up because people are, there's some changes, and I believe the government is looking at actually opening up the skies to people that are vaccinated, and this will definitely have spillover effects for impact on other SIA-related babies, you know, like SAS, SIA engineering. So all these will be the front runners, and they will have biggest or the most immediate impact on their businesses.
Mm-hmm. But in overall, though, I mean, this is a much needed ray of source of hope, at least, and perhaps the brightest source of hope for the aviation stocks here in Singapore, perhaps even since the start of the pandemic. There were some concerns, though, raised by SAA Engineering that the government might start to roll back some of the job support scheme measures. How tricky is it going to be for some of these stocks if the job support scheme and support measures are rolled back? Or do you think that the reopening, at least, of Singapore will be able to trump any withdrawal of aid by the government?
There are two things to look at. I mean, one is the immediate or at least the financial impact in the next couple of quarters. That could be tough because, mm-hmm. you know, as they are opening up, as they are ramping up their the business and getting in more orders, the likes of SIA Engineering for SIA, but then the job support scheme is like dwindling. So the impact to the financials will be there, will be very, very evident. But from the stock perspective, a lot of the investors, remember, they're forward-looking. You know, mm-hmm. they're looking to
right.
6 months, 12 months. And they probably will shrug it off and say that, okay, this is just part and parcel. What's going to happen in 6 to 12 months' time, right? And this is going to be positive. And this will lead to the share price, like, getting a lift.
Mm-hmm. All right. Terence, let's shift over to other sectors of the on the SGX today or in Singapore equities. And you know, the month that was also saw a lot of talk about restructuring at major companies. Perhaps forefront of them all, you can argue, was Sembcorp Marine and Keppel Corporation in preliminary talks to combine. But the rights issue that Sembcorp Marine mentioned drew a little bit of concern, actually, from the Securities Investors Association for Singapore because of its dilutive impact on retail shareholders. What probably concerned me a little bit more also was that they mentioned in a response that the rights issue was necessary to continue continue as a going concern. Now, you don't really hear a lot of companies, especially the size of Sembcorp Marine, admit that there could be a going concern issue if they can't raise capital. Tell us, from your point of view, Terrence, you've been watching these companies in this sector very closely for years now. How dire might things be for
decades?
Decades. How dire are things for Sembcorp Marine, and is a combination indeed necessary for these two?
Well, first up, I think that this combination between Sembcorp Marine as well as Keppel has been ongoing almost forever. You know, when I started out as an analyst 22 years ago, there were already like rumblings on the ground, you know, saying that there's a possibility of a marriage. And, you know, in recent years, I was just wondering whether that marriage is really going to come to fruition, or am I going to retire before that? Well, the marriage is coming through, but a lot of the shareholders for Sembcorp Marine, I believe, got the short end of the stick. Because initially people were thinking that, oh, it's going to be Keppel that's going to acquire Sembcorp Marine, but now it's the other way around. So Sembcorp Marine would have to go through a very big dilutive rights issue. I guess the market didn't like it. You can see the share price tanking over 20-25%. And they are really, really caught because they have to take up the rights or be very, very much diluted. So it's not a great situation that they are in. And whether is it necessary, I would think, you're talking about a combination, or are you talking about the rights, whether it's necessary?
Well, the rights issue, and also in as it pertains to Sembcorp Marine, saying that they could have issues about continuing as a going concern. I mean, these are that's a severe claim, or that's a serious claim for a company to admit that there could be a going concern issue. What do you make of those comments, and are you as concerned to say I am, Terrence?
Well, if they don't go through the rights, definitely there will be some financial difficulties. But the good news is, of course, who's behind Sembcorp Marine, right, now is Temasek, and they are basically bankrolling this rights issue. So as a shareholder, I wouldn't be that afraid of it being a going concern for a shareholder. But obviously, with this ultra-dilutive rights, then investors, like I said, have to make a decision, and they probably should take up the rights issue. The industry is very, very tough, with significant competitive pressures, you know, from state-backed players in Korea, from China, and from a macro level, investors have really moved out from pure oil and gas plays into more of the renewables. So being big as in a combined entity between for Sembcorp Marine and Keppel, that will allow them to actually compete effectively against its North Asian giants. So a combination, I think, is definitely necessary.
All right, we're listening to Terrence Wong, CEO of Azure Capital, here on Money FM 89.3 to recap the month that was, and what's been also a very busy month for Singapore markets. Now, I want to compare and contrast Sembcorp Marine's restructuring and talks of a merger with Keppel O&M alongside Capital Lands, because that was the other big restructuring news this month. And in contrast, though, they priced the restructuring effort at a notable premium, which was also deemed fair and reasonable by the folks over at Evercore. Now, Terrence, help us understand and compare and contrast the two moves, the rights issue and potential merger of Sembcorp Marine and Keppel O&M versus Capital Lands restructuring. What are the main takeaways that investors can have between these two very different restructuring efforts?
And two big words, ones, that is. Very, very different. Okay, that's three words. I think that, you know, like, and as I mentioned earlier on, the markets have really spoken. For Sembcorp Marine, it's down over 20% for its share price. Capital Land is up over 20%. And if you look at how CapitaLand has traded since the announcement, that was in late March, that has popped up from $3.31 all the way to $4.02 yesterday. And that's a mere 2% off from the implied valuation of $4.102. Investors clearly appreciate what CapitaLand is doing. To recap, what they have done is to take out the unsexy part of the business. That's the development business with very, very long gestation period. And just leave behind the real estate investment manager known as CapitaLand Investment Management, CLIM for short.
Right.
It is so all these listed real estate investment managers say for Australia, such as Goodman Group, Lendlease, they're actually trading at a premium to book value. But currently, CapitaLand, as a group, because of its development business, which is very capital intensive, is trading at a discount to NAV. And I think that, you know, going ahead, like I said, obviously the shareholders like it. And I think that it should trade at a premium. So it is a very positive move. And I think it's a breath of fresh air for CapitaLand.
Terrence, so much to talk about with the month that was for market, but I do want to focus on earnings. We've got a couple of earnings releases so far. The REITs, of course, taking a center stage for the last couple of days. What have your impressions been of earnings so far here in Singapore? And looking ahead, what is the one earnings release you might be watching more closely than others?
Well, the earnings, I think so far, so good. Most sectors that have been beaten down in 2020, you can see them making quite a strong comeback, particularly the shipyards, telcos, land transport players, the banks, you know, or not the banks so far, but then they're coming up. And they're enjoying a big rebound due to the very, very low base in 2020. For the REITs, like you mentioned, I think that they've been fairly resilient. If you ask me what I'm looking out for, I think one of the things or one of the sectors I just mentioned early on will be the banks, because they are the bellwethers. And the upcoming results should shed more light on confirming the positive trends that's being set so far. The last quarter of last year, the first quarter of this year, you know, they've been generally positive. And I think that, you know, this current set of results should confirm, you know, the trend going ahead. Bank stocks, you know, were the strongest industries amongst the global stock market in the first half on very, very resilient business investments. I think looking ahead, probably the tech plays, Aztec is coming up very soon. I believe it is going to be this Friday. A lot of, the share price get pressured over the last couple of months to just below its IPO price. I think that there should be a little bit of a kicker over there. Should they come out with better than expected results? That's on the tech front. And also reopening themes. I know it's on again. Mm-hmm. And it was very, very strong towards the fourth quarter of last year into the first quarter. It sort of like came off a little bit. But I think that the reopening themes should come into play, especially what Lawrence Wong was talking about yesterday. SI is releasing some action. SI Engineering, some of the tourism, hospitality plays should also be of interest.
All right. And of course, all of this contingent still on whether or not Singapore can meet its vaccination goals. But of course, a lot of much needed hope, not just for markets, but the broader economy and the country as well. Terrence Wong, CEO of Azure Capital, thank you so much for joining us today on Money FM 89.3 for helping us recap the month that was and what could be a potentially promising month ahead. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these times. And we look forward next time we can have you back on the show. Meanwhile, happy Tuesday, sir, and have a great rest of the week ahead.
Thanks, JP. You too.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.